Hello again. As we are getting ready in this season of Advent, we each Sunday that goes by, we light a candle. The candle for this week is about hope. And what we are going to be speaking this morning is about how we can find joy in hope, but not any hope, the good one. It is interesting when we go through the story and how Mary is portrayed pretty much as a child for our today's standards. And that's how it probably was closer to her age when she received this news that she was going to be some part so special of God's plan for humanity. It's interesting to see how humans have this sense of hope. And we were talking about, right, the cold that it was this week, right? And when we talk about hope, we tend to go into the human aspect of it, just that wishful thinking. In April 2015, I don't know if you remember, there was this huge earthquake in Nepal. The whole city was just rubble. It took the life of 9,000 souls. And people were just desperate. And the whole world came to assist, sending firefighters and medical teams and everybody hands-on, going through the rubble. And as days went by, the hope was getting dim. And one moment, while people was going through the rubble, they heard this cry for help. And it came from a baby. So immediately, everybody got into that area and started removing all the rocks, all the debris. It took them 22 hours to find this baby. And it was a miracle. And the photographer, Amul Thapa, who was recording all these events, he shares in this story that he couldn't hold it anymore. And he tells that as every picture he was taking, it was a prayer. God, please, let this baby be alive. Let this baby be safe. And hour after hour going through it until finally the baby comes out. And he said he couldn't, after this picture, he couldn't hold it anymore. And he started crying. He started crying because for that moment, all the sorrow went away. In that moment, there was joy, because the hope that they have, the whole world coming to rescue this baby, paid off, and the baby was alive. In this season, this morning, we're going to talk about a baby that came to save the world and how impactful Jesus' life is in your life, in my life. Hope, according to Google or dictionary, it's a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Wishful thinking. Like this week, cold, very cold. So I don't know if it ever happens to you when you get that jacket and you are going out the door and you put your hands in the jacket and you find something. And you know it. And you start pulling out. And it's a crispy dollar bill. Or five. If it's 20, that's it. We are talking Golden Corral, baby. We are going out. That's for the books. And you get that, right? So, you start preparing yourself. It happened more than once to me. So I was going to the jackets to come out to church early this morning, about 10 o'clock. I got the jacket on, and then I put my hands on the pocket. Nothing. Take the jacket off. Let's go back to the closet and take another one. I ended up with something that I used back in D.C. that covered until my ankles, you know. And even that, I put my hand and then I feel something. It was just a nickel. So that's what happened with human hope, right? We have sometimes great expectations of something impossible to happen. And it might get a dollar. You might get a nickel. You might just get a old piece of gum that you forgot to discharge, right? I'm getting too personal in this. But the message of hope that we are going to be talking about is the hope that only Jesus can give us. A hope that is worth clinging into. Let's go for the Bible reading this morning, and let's do it as special. Sammy will read us, but out of memory. We have a proud dad here. When you're ready, Sammy.
Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free.
Thank you. Let's give it a hand. We talk about hope and the hope of a baby that came to save the world. We talk about hope as Christians when we see our students, when we see our kids following the steps of the Lord. And we cannot help to wonder, says, how I wish to have this opportunity to know Jesus when I was younger. How I wish to know scriptures by memory. And this is the good type of hope that we are going to be speaking this morning. Joy is only possible when we have hope. In this verse, Jesus was in his hometown. He came back and he walked into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And as customary, they had the prayer. They opened the scrolls, read some of the prophets, and a man, a rabbi, or sometimes a guest, was invited to come and speak. And since Jesus was already kind of famous for his miracles and everything he was doing, and he was in his hometown, and he was no other than Joseph and Mary's son, he was giving up the floor. And he stand up. The church synagogues weren't as fancy as we have them now. They were more like on a square shape. And actually, the person that will be talking will be right on the center of all. No nice decorations, no lights, of course, but just the warmth of all the people eager to hear what God had to say to them. And Jesus comes and picks up the scroll and start reading about Isaiah. And he takes that authority, right? And he says, I'm bringing the good news to the poor. I come here to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free. And it ends on verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is not a single simple declaration that Jesus was doing. He was taking this and he was talking in first person. This is what I'm coming to do. These are the great things that are going to happen. The years of the Lord's favor means the year of the Jubilee. Every 7 years, Israel had a break. They were taking that year to balance things out. Now, every 50 years, it was the year of the Jubilee, where they took the whole year off, where all your debts were erased. If you were a slave, you would be set free. And during that year, nobody will work. That's paradise. Jesus was telling people, this is this year. Have hope. This is our year. Because what Jesus was trying to tell, and of course we know probably this story, and that's when Jesus was proclaimed many years later, 33 years after he was born, when he came into Jerusalem and he was glorified and he was, Hosanna, here is the Son of David. Because they thought that they were not going to be no longer slaves to Rome. They were no longer going to be having to pay taxes. They were going to be set free. But what Jesus was announcing, what Jesus was coming to do, was give us hope. Hope to a bankrupt spirituality. He was going to break the chains of slavery to the sinful, to give them hope, to give them salvation. Joy is only possible when we have hope, when we have hope in Jesus Christ. Look at the bulletin for a moment. We have this ground, which is tough. This is the hope. And out of the hope comes the joy. The soil, this rock, is in which our hope remains. And this is where the joy is rooted. That means for us, as Christians, that things might not be always pretty. We won't be always driving. We have some visitors from California, and this image comes to mind. Driving in our Cadillacs down into Ocean Drive and enjoying the sunset, right? And as Christians, we don't always get to experience that. As Christians, sometimes we go to tribulations. We go through pain. And what it's telling us is, even if it's bad right now, those difficulties will not rob you of your joy, because you have hope. Hope in the things that will come. Because we as Christians, we are not setting our hearts, like putting our hands in our pockets and see if I get lucky or not. Because we know there is a promise. We know there is a future when we are winning. Three things in this morning that I like for us to reflect. And as we are reading in Luke this week, it came to me an interesting story. Jesus, again, speaking at the synagogue in Luke 4, verse 32. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. Where? At the synagogue, in the middle of it, in the middle of the building, surrounded by all those people. Like I told you before, there was this person, this demon, right inside on the synagogue. Can you think about this? I can see a couple here that could fit that description. Hey, how are you doing? But it was this demon. It was this evil spirit. And the moment that he saw Jesus, the demon cried up to the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus had authority over demons. Demons fear him. Were terrified of Jesus' authority. Then we keep reading. At the end of chapter 4, we saw the authority of Jesus over the disease. Chapter 5 tells us the authority that Jesus had over his own, over his disciples. Continues with the despised, with the disciple. Even on chapter 6 tells us the authority that Jesus had over the days when they were walking through the field and they were hungry and they took some of the corn to it. Jesus had authority over demons, disease, disciples, over the despised, even over the days. But does Jesus have that authority over my life? Does Jesus have authority over my anxiety? Does Jesus have authority over my fears, my destiny, my worries? How are we clinging into Jesus? going back to the story of the baby, sometimes we hear that cry on looking for joy, looking for happiness. But we are deceived, and we start removing the rubble in the wrong places. And we start trying to find that joy, trying to find that happiness, something momentary in getting us deep into work, searching for money, searching for religion, searching maybe for a quick pleasure, a quick getaway that will just remind us that we are alive, that we deserve to be happy. By doing that, by looking that moment of happiness in the wrong places, we are losing an eternity of joy in Jesus Christ. Jesus had authority over everything. The question for me is, does really Jesus have authority over my life? I'm really hopeful in listening to Jesus' authority. I'm really happy. I'm really a joyous person by following Jesus' commandments in my life, what Jesus is expecting of me. Joy, the real joy, amigos, will come, and it will be possible when we have hope. We need to cling to Jesus' authority. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death and present you wholly in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Jesus has the victory. And Paul understood this. And John was very clear in the last couple of weeks as we were reading through Philippians and Colossians about this story. And how Paul, by all means, he considered himself imperfect. He even had some physical disadvantages that he prayed to God to remove. And God says, no, and my grace will be enough. And Paul was there. And he kept going. And he wrote these letters from jail and in the doors of death. Because Paul understood that Jesus had the victory. And his victory was his victory. We need to understand that Jesus' victory is my victory. Now, pretty much I'm not the only one. I like to root for the underdog. You know, when you're watching that game and the team is losing 3-0 and you see these four guys are getting run over at all the field. I'm talking about soccer, the real sport. The rest is just... The rest is entertainment, guys. Right? And we see this team, right, that they are fighting and then you start rooting inside of you. Oh, I wish they are coming back. They are coming back. And they score a goal and says, now we are talking, baby. Now, let's go for it. And second goal, and then the time is over and they lose. But, and that's okay. It's fun. It gives us a nice thing. And when you watch a movie, you want that guy that you know is going to be the first one to go. And I says, oh, hopefully he made it. And he doesn't last until the first commercial and he's gone, right? But we put our hope in those things and we like to root for the underdog. Do it on sports. Do it in watching movies. Don't do it in your life. Don't put your hope in things that they are worth so much. As we were doing a touch point with the students on Wednesday, the issue of the quarterback for UCF came and how his knee was completely destroyed and probably his career and probably the future of the team, right? And we were like, okay, the team had a good turn and it's done. And then yesterday, They came with a huge win. I see section four there rooting, and it was a miracle, right? And that's what I'm talking about, rooting for an impossible, having hope in something that it was beyond all odds. And it played great for this team, and it gave hope that is a tomorrow. But what if it wouldn't happen? It's too much of a risk to put your life in your own strength. Cling to Jesus' victory. Root for the underdogs in sports, somewhere else, but with your life, cling to the victory of Jesus. That will give us the hope. And when things get hard, when things get tough, we know that it's temporary. We know it's going to end. We know that Jesus has the victory in his hands, and he's going to share it with us. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, says Proverbs 21. But victory rests with the Lord. We might get ready. Our horse might be perfect. But the victory is not for your efforts or mine. The victory is given by Jesus. Joy is only possible when we have hope. And we hope in the victory of Jesus over everything. To end up, come with me to 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. This is important. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. Jesus' grace give us consolation. Jesus' grace give us strength. And grace is a hard thing to come by, because you cannot buy it. You cannot get it. Actually, sorry to break it to you if you don't know already, but you don't deserve it. Grace means that it's an undeserved kindness. I have Emma, and she has been sick for the last few days. She's going with some crazy fever, and if you know her around, she keeps jumping all over the building whenever she's here, and she doesn't believe in shoes, so she's always in barefoot or in socks. That's why maybe she'd be sick. But anyways, and she's this little sweet active child, and now she's with a fever. And so she's laying down, and she got her little pink polka dot sofa, and she sits in there, and it's all like this. So we try to cheer her up, and we give her a blankie, and we give her Mr. Broccoli, her favorite plush toy, broccoli of all things. And we are taking extreme care of her. Why? Because she is my child. I love her with my life. I want her to have the best things ever. I want her to get safe and healthy again. But it's important for us to understand that we as humans are sick. We have sin in our life. And that sin brings condemnation. And that condemnation means you are separated. You cannot reach God. And it's nothing that you can do that will get you any closer. And we don't deserve that blankie. We don't deserve Mr. Broccoli. Jesus loved us so much in his grace, in this undeserved kindness, that he came to this world as a child to 33 years later die in the cross. That's grace. That's hope. That's joy, because we are not clinging in a wishful thinking. We are not clinging in something that might or might not happen, because we know the Bible to be truth from cover to cover. We know that is no imperfection. We know that this happened. And we know that His grace will happen with us and we will join Him for eternity. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You heard the announcements a few minutes ago. How much great opportunities Vista has for us to serve. Doing it here in the local community. Doing it with the coats and toys for the panhandle. You guys came through in great ways with the food bank, in such a way that we are actually now partnering with food banks that they are lacking some of the inventory, and we are going to minister and help them to come along and help the needed. Are we rejoicing? Are we really happy on the hope that we have? Let's put our eyes in Christ. Let's put our heart in things that really matter. It says, pray. Pray day and night. Tomorrow, we have a great opportunity for you to put it in practice. Come, let's pray together to God. Let's rejoice in the hope that He hears every prayer, even the ones that they are in the deepest of our heart. But how good is when there's two or three in His name, because we know His presence is there with us. Tomorrow at 7, pray first Monday. Great opportunity to live this verse. Insert in your heart. You know, December is that year where the resolutions will start popping up in all our Facebook or Instagram feeds. I felt identified with one. It says, in 2015, I wanted to lose 3 pounds. In 2016, I needed to lose 6 pounds. In 2017, I need to lose 9 pounds. You know where I'm going with this. This year's resolution is going to be completely different. This year's resolution, I'm going to change the stereotypical look at the people that sees me. I'm going to change their minds. I'm going to embrace my 15 extra pounds and go forward. How is my resolution? Is it going to be another year of promises, of hoping, of wishful thinking? Or is it going to be a year for us to really put our hope, our joy in Jesus Christ? Coming together. What will be this Christmas season for me? What will be 2019? Because we know three things. We know if we cling to Jesus' authority, our hope will be greater. Our joy will be amazing. We know that if we cling to Jesus' victory and we claim it as our own victory, our hope will be real. Our joy will be over the top. People will ask in the street, why are you so happy? It's 65 degrees. It's cold. My hope is not in the weather. My hope is in Christ. And we hope on the grace, on this undeserved kindness, and how we can share that grace with those who haven't heard yet, who those who are missing this morning in these empty seats. In Argentina, there is this doctor, Daniel Rossetti. The system is different, and in Argentina you end up high school and you jump directly to university. It's a jungle. That's the benefits of public education, right? You have to fight your way through thousands of students. And Daniel wanted to be a doctor. So early in high school, in his senior year, he started to attend in classes. He found himself a doctor, Ricardo, to be his mentor. So he took him under his wing. So he started studying. Second year, he wasn't all there yet. You can imagine, but it's Argentina. It's okay. Everything happened. And he said, okay, We are ready to put you into the field. We need you. We have a shortage of doctors. So we are going to let you start practicing the way you can. You can imagine the excitement that he had. So he has his white coat. He has his stethoscope. And first thing Sunday morning, he was there. And said, where do you want me? Oh, you need it in the ER. So they put this good doctor, Daniel, into the ER. And moments after, the door swings open. And the nurses rush in, this man and two ladies with him. And they lead him right in front of him. And he froze. He couldn't do anything. And then of the sudden, he felt that he was hit. And he was pushed by the other doctors. He literally move away, and immediately the doctors start to performing CPR and do everything they could to save this man's life, and they couldn't. It was too late. And this man died of a heart attack. And Daniel was there, soaking all these images in, and he wasn't ready, and he didn't know any better. And that Sunday was Father's Day. And that two ladies, it was his wife and his daughter. And he couldn't face him. He tells that he couldn't look them in the eye because he was incapable of doing anything. And right after, he felt anger. And Daniel tells us he started, you know, blaspheming. And he got mad, not just at himself, at his mentor, Ricardo, that put him there, but especially at God. And he took it up to God. This is unfair. I should have been doing this. This shouldn't have happened to me. And says, I quit. So he started walking down the aisle to confront Richard. And Richard that morning was working in the neonatology department where babies are delivered. And he tells, this is movies. Stuff, right? And he goes into the room and looking for Ricardo, the moment that he turns around and he had a baby just delivered, full of life. And Ricardo says at that moment, looking at that kid, looking at the life that was brought, he started crying. And the first thing he did, he asked for forgiveness to God for getting mad. And Ricardo looked at him and said, hey, what's going on? What do you need to talk about? I says, nothing. Forget about it. He took back his stethoscope. He put back the jacket and went again and tried again. Today, he is one of the most renowned cardiologists in Argentina because he didn't give up. He had found new hope. You might be going through some difficult times. You might be questioning your presence in this building this morning. You might be questioning if God is at all hearing your cries. But I want you to know this. Jesus has the authority over your life. Just let him work. Jesus has the victory. You just need to clinch it, embrace it. Jesus has grace. He forgive us. He gave us a new hope, a new chance to be joyful every day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much because in you we find real hope. Thank you so much because, Lord, you give so much meaning, not just in this season, but in every day of our life. We ask you, Lord, that your authority will be manifest in our lives. We ask you, Lord, that you will give us the chance to enjoy your victories, to clinch into them, to celebrate your victory. Thank you, God, for your grace, because without deserving it, you gave us so, so much, and we have a reason for joy. We have a reason to be part of your family. Be part of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.